The following is an AUFans.com production. It's a new day, Auburn fans!
It's time, everybody! It's time for the AU Fans Podcast! Woo!
Prepare to be entertained and informed.
What about it, punk?
Your life might even change.
Do you bleed orange and blue?
War Eagle!
You are about to enter the AU Fans Podcast with expert witness testimony. Expert commentary delivered straight to your plate by Stan the Unusual Man Stevens.
Alrighty. There you go, Stanley. What do you say? Give it to us straight, man.
War Eagle, everyone, and welcome to the AU Fans Podcast. I am your host, Stan Stevens. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is what we're talking about. The Auburn Tigers ran their 2013 season record to 6-1 with an electrifying 45-41 victory over the Texas A&M Aggies from College Station, Texas. What a ball game, folks. This was truly one of Auburn's great all-time wins. It was a game full of big plays on both sides, and it was finally the Auburn defense that turned back Mr. Johnny Football himself on a fourth down play, a sack at the end of the game that sealed one of the great Tiger victories of all time. What do you say about a game that went back and forth and had so many big plays? The game started out Texas A&M taking the opening kickoff. And as they have done, I think the statistic is over 80% of the time in the last 2 years, they took that opening kickoff for a touchdown. And, they drove it right down Auburn's throat after the opening kickoff. Of course, the Tigers took the ensuing kickoff and put together a pretty good little drive of themselves, drove down the field. And in about 2.5 more minutes, they had tied it up. We could talk about, probably for the next hour, all the big plays that went back and forth in this game. Early on, Manziel made a couple of critical poor decisions throwing the football, and Auburn picked up a couple of interceptions against Johnny Football. Auburn turned around and also had some issues where they went 3-and-out. As the game was going on, I thought way too many times to win there in the latter part of the first, second quarter. So there were a lot of mistakes made on both sides. The game was tied in the first half late, 17-all, when Auburn got the football with just a little over a minute to play. I think the ball was down on the Tigers' 1 yard line after a great punt and roll to the one. Even though Texas A&M had like two timeouts, I felt like Auburn might just try to get into the half, at a 17-17 tie. You're backed up on your 1 yard line. But to Coach Malzahn's credit, he came out, Nick Marshall, of course, in the shotgun in the end zone, and threw a pass to Sammy Coates, and it was way underthrown. But Coates had the defender by several yards. If Nick Marshall just lays the ball out there, you're going to have a 99-yard touchdown pass to end the half. Of course, the pass fell incomplete. Auburn did run it on second down. And then on third down, Nick Marshall made another great throw on a similar fly route right down the sideline. This time, Sammy Coates dropped the ball. So Auburn has the kick with 40-something seconds to go in a half. Well, one play after A&M receives the punt, they score. And right before the half, they go up 24-17. At the time, I thought that was really, really going to be tough. Even though Auburn was going to receive the second half kickoff, to give up a score inside a minute. You've got the ball with just barely a minute and with four downs to go, and then Texas A&M scores a touchdown, I really thought that was going to would be almost a backbreaker for Auburn. But it has been the theme of this Tiger team so far through these seven games. This is an Auburn team that, number one, the coaches make tremendous halftime adjustments. If you go back and look at every game, Auburn has almost won probably every second half so far this season. And of course, it would be the same Saturday. Again, it was 24-17. Auburn scores. And again, Saturday, Auburn outscored Texas A&M 28 to 17 in the second half, which is just incredible. Of course, now late in the third quarter, it was still Texas A&M 31-24. You know, the quarter ended with A&M on Auburn's 5-yard line. So you're starting the fourth quarter with a 31-24 deficit, and A&M's down there threatening to score. That's when, of course, Manziel scrambled, got hit by Ryan White, and then Ladarius Owens fell on Manziel and hurt his shoulder. Manziel had to leave the game. They brought in their second-string quarterback, Jockel, and, of course, he proceeded to throw an incomplete pass on a guy really that was open in the end zone, and A&M settled for a field goal. But they still went up 24 early in the fourth quarter. So, again, after a lot of big plays, and, again, the fourth quarter, it just went back and forth. Texas A&M moving the ball, Auburn answering. Finally, A&M gets up. They're up 38. They score, and they're up 38. Wait a minute. Actually, they had scored late, and they went up 41-38 over Auburn when they kicked off with about 5 minutes to go in the game. And in one of the great Auburn drives in the history of the school, Nick Marshall led them all the way down the field. The big, big play coming on a 3rd and 9 from inside the on the Texas A&M side of the 50, a 9-yard. It was 3rd and 9. Nick Marshall completed a 27-yard wheel route to Marcus Davis down deep into A&M territory, inside the 10. A couple of running plays later, Trey Mason scored. Of course, the concern here, I think that all Auburn people had, as Auburn got the ball down to about the 5-yard line, was, and they handed the ball to Trey Mason, and he appeared to be stopped maybe just short of the goal line, and maybe just, you know, had just made first down yardage, and they reviewed the play. And, of course, you could see that Mason never hit the ground, and he stretched the ball across the goal line or to the goal line for the touchdown. The concern at this time was, did we leave Johnny Manziel and that A&M offense too much time? Of course, you know, there's a sense where you just can't be so – obviously, you would try to run the clock down as much as you can. But first and foremost, you've got to score. Too many things can happen if you start playing around with trying to run clock out and then, you know, score when you want to score. You could have a penalty to back you up. You could have a turnover, fumble. So I think Auburn needed to get that touchdown in with about a minute or so left. And that's what they did. Unfortunately, the ensuing kickoff, Texas A&M almost broke it. They ran it out to about the 34, but you can tell, I mean, Cody Parkey was one of the guys in on the kind of initially slowing down the kickoff returner. So we start off at the 34, and with Manziel and 3 timeouts, I mean, you knew it was going to have to take a great defensive effort to keep them out of the end zone, and that's just what we did. Of course, there were several big plays on that last defensive stand. Manziel threw a pass in the end zone that could have been picked off, but was kind of mistimed, tipped around, and Mike Evans, who had an incredible day, I think set a record, nearly 300 yards receiving, just barely missed the ball as it was tipped away. Then on third down, Manziel flushed out of the pocket, took off to the sideline, and Chris Frost ran him down. Now, I've been watching Manziel these last couple of years, just about every time I can see, catch A&M on TV. And one thing about Manziel, he has this ability to, as people start pursuing him, he tends to even have another gear. Well, he tried to outrun Chris Frost and could not do it. Now, there was some potential controversy whether it might have been a horse collar. It was a very close call. I mean, Chris Frost reached out, grabbed him by, you can grab somebody from behind, you just can't grab them up around inside the shoulder pad, and it was very close. But it wasn't called, and then on 4th and 13, Manziel was sacked in an unbelievable rush by D. Ford. Texas A&M, quite frankly, had been they've been letting the offensive linemen, the use of the hands, be fairly liberal in this game. And D. Ford broke through the offensive tackle. Manziel tried to cut one way and then the other, and then he got sacked to essentially end the ball game. Of course, it was just great to see Coach Malzahn and Coach Craig and all the sidelines just erupted. It was just an unbelievable ball game from start to finish, with a huge sack to end the game. What a fitting way for Auburn to finally, beat Texas A&M and Johnny Manziel. So with that win, Auburn becomes bowl eligible. And honestly, that game, winning that game like we did against an opponent that was ranked around 7th on their home field, to come back, keep coming back in a game like that, you can just see the tremendous growth by this Auburn Tigers team. And I think Auburn, as you look through the schedule, and again, we're taking them one at a time, that old cliche, but Auburn needs to get better every week. And as you look through the schedule, Florida Atlantic, which we'll look at here in just a second, coming up next, then on the road to Arkansas, then a road trip to Knoxville to play Tennessee, then to come home and finish up with Georgia and Alabama. As you look at that schedule, the only team that stands out to me right now that would still be playing maybe better football than we are, of course, is the Crimson Tide. Now, it's going to be interesting to see some of the games this weekend and see what kind of improvement, some of these other teams in the conference have made. Of course, as I mentioned, this week's opponent is the Florida Atlantic Owls. This should be a game that if Auburn goes out and plays hard and continues to do the things that Coach Malzahn has been preaching, and that is, don't look ahead, be ready to play. It's a night game. That should help Auburn. I mean, the weather should be cooler. Florida Atlantic, looking at the stats on them, they've struggled. I mean, they're 2-5. They've had wins over South Florida and UAB. They've lost to Miami, East Carolina, MTSU, Rice, and Marshall. So certainly they appear to be better than Western Carolina, but just about anybody would be. But they shouldn't really pose much of a threat to Auburn. If Auburn comes out, runs the offense, is focused, if they don't turn the ball over, and if they play, if they don't just have one busted assignment after another on defense, this should be a game that Auburn wins handily. I'm going to have to pick the Tigers in this game about 48-17. Now, looking around the SEC this past weekend and then looking forward to this coming weekend, some of the games around the SEC again, Missouri. Maybe the surprise team, maybe in the whole country at this point, ranked 5th in the nation. The undefeated Missouri Tigers leading the Eastern Division by 2 full games. They essentially put Florida out of it by beating the Gators 36-17. Florida is really struggling on offense, and now they're starting to show cracks on the defense. We hear that there may be some very unhappy folks down in Gainesville, and that's the nature of college football, and especially in the SEC. It's what have you done for me lately? Georgia continued its kind of tailspin. They lost another of their top receivers, the Conley kid, Saturday, and basically handed the game to Vandy when they couldn't, they fumbled a punt with just a couple minutes to go in the game, and the Doors went ahead and upset Georgia 31-27. And by the way, it was upset Saturday in the SEC as Tennessee handed South Carolina their second SEC loss, 23-21. We'll talk more about the Vols here in a minute, but a huge win for Butch Jones and the Tennessee program. Alabama continued its defensive scoring dominance and beat the Pigs from Arkansas 52-0. And, of course, that's going to be Auburn's next week's opponent after Florida Atlantic. Now, the Pigs do have this weekend off, so, I look for them to at least play Auburn tougher since the game will be at home and they will have been rested. But, we'll worry about Arkansas next week. And, of course, in one of the other, probably the other most exciting game other than the Auburn-Texas A&M game was Ole Miss beating LSU 27-24. Hurting LSU's chances of winning the Western Division and probably getting costing them a BCS bowl as well. Now this weekend you've got Arkansas, Florida, and Georgia all open. Of course, Florida and Georgia will be the next big game for those two teams. But Thursday night, actually, you've got Kentucky playing at Mississippi State, and that's a huge game for both of those programs. Certainly Mississippi State. Dan Mullen doesn't want to lose to this Kentucky team at home. Then Saturday, in a huge game again, Missouri hosts South Carolina. The Gamecocks can ill afford to lose that ball game to Missouri. Also, of course, this is the big traditional Alabama and Tennessee rivalry, which honestly, I think the last 3 years hasn't been much of a rivalry. I think that Alabama has beaten Tennessee by 31 the last three meetings between the two schools. Just like Auburn had a huge measuring stick of where we are as a program last Saturday, this is going to be a really big game for Tennessee to travel. It's a CBS game in Tuscaloosa. By all indications, Tennessee Coach Jones is doing a really good job getting those guys to believe, to play hard. Some of the same things we've seen in Coach Malzahn at Auburn. So this is going to be a huge test. Alabama, again, has won. They're undefeated. The quality of their offensive opponents, if you look at the numbers, they haven't played an offense other than Ole Miss, and that was a big win for Alabama to shut them out. If you go back and look at the film, Ole Miss probably had a few field goals they could have taken, but still, that was a big defensive effort against Ole Miss. Against Ole Miss for Alabama, keeping them off the board. So this is going to be a tremendous challenge for Tennessee to see where they are, if they can make this competitive. I think the line has been 28 points, which is a huge line in this rivalry. But it's going to be interesting to see, again, how much Tennessee's improved, having played, by most accounts, a much tougher schedule to this point. And then, of course, in the other games, you've got LSU hosting Furman, Ole Miss hosting Idaho. Those should be huge wins and easy wins for those two schools. And then Texas A&M, reports are that Johnny Manziel's shoulder's fine. I would look for A&M to put some serious points on the board against Vandy Saturday. Okay, folks. And, of course, it's also we've gotten to that that time in the show when we try to reach across the globe and reach out and talk to a Auburn graduate from somewhere around this great planet. And this week, coming to us from Munich, Germany, Auburn graduate Heinrich Winkler. Welcome to the show, Heinrich.
Thank you, Stan. Great job on pronouncing my name. I know it's difficult for American speakers of English to get it right, but you did good, man, I tell you. It's good to be back. Well, not back. I haven't been on your show before, but I always like to have the contact with peoples from Alabama. Not only do you guys talk funny, but you say funny things, and it makes me feel like I am back at school at Auburn. Those were certainly the good times.
So, Heinrich, how is Munich this time of year, and how have you been enjoying watching Auburn football there in Germany?
Oh, Munich is right. It's very nice right now. We have weather much like you have. It's cold now, but not as cold as it will be later on. Soon it will be ready to freeze your right arm off in Munich. Right now we are in what the U.S. would say autumn, and well. About the game, sometimes it's difficult to get the game on television. I don't know why. We use a satellite dish, and sometimes programming isn't happening. I mean, it doesn't show sometimes because the operator couldn't get that particular game or whatever. So it is suffering sometimes. This year I am proud to say, though, that I see all games so far. Last year I did not see all of them, but I am understanding that I was not missing very much. Well, it is okay, though. Internet always working. I can see highlights, watch shows, hear podcasts like your AU Fans podcast. It is okay.
Now, Heinrich, I see that you have a pharmacology degree from Auburn University, and a lot of our listeners know that Auburn has a big pharmacy school, one of the leading pharmacy schools, of course, in this state. And tell us a little bit about what you're doing with pharmacology there in Germany.
Okay, well, yes, I studied pharmacology at Auburn and even did some of my work in a little town a bit north of Auburn called Huntsville. I'm sure you've heard of it, Stan. Just kidding. That is where you are. I know. So I admired the work of Dr. Werner von Braun, a rocket scientist who came to Huntsville to research and build rockets. And so, like him, I am scientist. I do much research because in Germany we need people who can find the right compounds to fix or make people better and take care of medical conditions that the people have. It is very, very rewarding work, especially when you get on team with enthusiasm to find the right stuff to make the people be getting better and better.
Okay, well, that is really interesting. It is it's been a real treat for me each week to hear how folks around the globe are putting the Auburn education to good use.
Yes, I use education every time. Education is good. I don't want to be opposite of that. That would mean ignorant. Nothing worse than being ignorant, right?
So, Heinrich, what question do you have for AU fans this week?
Well, I want to see if you know. I'm trying to find what is the difference with this Auburn football team this year. I mean, what is making this year such a big year as compared to last season? I know the coaches are new, but does that really make such a big difference or difference in the team? And then another question. I heard a word that I don't understand during the last game, and so the announcers, they lost me. The word was wheel route, I think, and if I'm saying that right, wheel route. So what exactly is that?
Well, let me take your second question first, since it's more specific. The wheel route that these announcers are referring to is usually it's a running back that comes out of the backfield, and he's usually guarded, or you try to have him get a play where he's isolated. A linebacker will be covering him, and usually the speed matchup favors the tailback, the running back coming out of the backfield, and it's usually run. The play goes down the sideline, and it's often can be a really big play. Now Auburn ran that wheel route several times Saturday. Gary Danielson on CBS Sports kept talking about it, but one of the big plays in the game of big plays was a 3rd and 9 on Auburn's final touchdown drive. Marcus Davis was kind of set up, you know, in the slot, and he went outside. The outside receiver kind of broke inside, and the linebacker was guarding Davis, and it was a 3rd and 9, and it was a 27-yard pickup. So that was a huge play in the game. If we don't make that first down there, you know, we probably don't win the ball game. So, but you know, Coach Malzahn, you know, used the quote wheel route on that play to get Marcus Davis isolated on the linebacker, and of course it was a big play as a result of that.
Okay, so it's a strategy then. Well, that is knocking some sense into me then.
Now to just to talking about how Coach Malzahn and then in Coach Johnson, of course, Ellis Johnson, the defensive coordinator, and how Coach Malzahn on the offensive side, how they've made a huge difference. I don't know that there's ever been a bigger difference from one season to another as from last year, the way Auburn looked, offensive, defensive,
yeah,
special teams, everything last year to this year. Of course, Coach Malzahn,
sure,
as most people know, is very detail-oriented. He's a strict disciplinarian, and I think that you can just tell that the program, he has just instilled some tremendous work ethic and a never say die attitude. Same way with the defense, Heinrich. Coach Johnson has been just, even though statistically in terms of just total numbers, total defense, Auburn's not where they want to be, but in the red zone and just overall, just the casual observer can tell that, and even Saturday, can tell Auburn is playing harder. And again, in the fourth quarter, I mean, you know, a couple of sacks on that last drive that keeps A&M out of the end zone and keeps them from winning. But you could just see the improvement in the conditioning and the fight in these guys has just been incredible. So hats off to Coach Malzahn and offensive staff and Coach Johnson on the defensive side. Thank you for that excellent question and observation there, Heinrich.
Appreciative of your knowledge of Auburn football, Stan, and thank you for giving me a chance to ask question or two, and I look forward to more podcasting from you. War Eagle! And like I sometimes heard from my friends in Alabama and on some TV shows, let's get her done. Yeehaw! War Eagle!
War Eagle, Heinrich, and again, thanks for joining us. And you know, stay tuned over there in Germany, because I have a feeling this season is going to get even more exciting, and I hope you'll, of course, join in each week as we do the AU Fans Podcast.
Yeah.
Again, War Eagle. Well, folks, that's a wrap on another show for this week. You know, join us again next week, and we'll take a look back at the Florida Atlantic game, and then look forward to another road trip to Fayetteville, Arkansas to play the Pigs. And as we usually do, we'll look around the conference at some of these big games to see how they turned out and see how things are starting to shake out in the Southeastern Conference. Exciting thing for Auburn people is, folks, we got a chance. I mean, we will probably be favored if we take care of business in these next several games. And who knows? It could actually come down to the Auburn-Alabama game to see who represents the West in the Southeastern Conference championship. Who would have ever thought that preseason or at the end of last year? So just great things going on at Auburn, and I'm appreciate everybody joining us. Again, War Eagle, everybody. Have a great and safe week.
This has been an AU Fans Podcast with your host, Stan Stevens. Website and technical support provided by Keith Maxwell. Audio production by voiceofjweb.com. Join us again next week for more in-depth analysis on AUFans.com. Thank you for listening.